This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So today, the courts have ordered the police and government to pay over 280,000 ringgit in damages to the family of T. Benedict, who is a man who died in police custody in 2017.
So that the family filed that suit in July last year, and in it they stated that the 44-year-old Benedict, who had several health issues, died due to police negligence. And the lawsuit was actually directed at 25 defendants, including 23 members of the police force, the IGP, as well as the government. And last year, September, the Kuala Lumpur Coroner's Court ruled that his death could have been avoided if he had been given medical assistance. So that's the backdrop to all of this. And so this kind of sees that come to fruition, right? The High Court has ruled in favor of T. Benedict's wife and daughter. And they've been, the government as well as the police have been ordered to pay damages.
So Janagi Nadaraja, who is the wife of T. Benedict, said that although she was happy with the judgment, she wants an apology from the police and the government, and that her husband was extremely sick. They had ignored him, and she wanted the police and the government to admit their guilt. And I think that that's an important thing to talk about, because it also reflects the very deep hurt that happens when there are these sorts of deaths, right? Deaths in custody. And also, I think a reflection somewhat of the kinds of acknowledgement, the desire for the situation and for the person who passed on to be seen properly in the proper context. And while damages are an important step to that, I think that apology, I understand the spirit in which it's being asked.
And I think it's also, given the fact that this is coming on the wake of several cases of custodial deaths, it's now starting to seem, or rather, we're starting to see more and more of these sorts of court cases emerging, and perhaps showing a way in which we can get some sort of answers to situations like these. So there have been other wins this year. So in March, P. Chandran's family, the federal court ruled that that his family would be receiving 357,500 ringgit in damages over his death in police custody due to his medical needs being neglected. In July, Kamarul Nizam Ismail's family, his family was awarded 250,000 for negligence and 40,800 ringgit for dependency claims over his death in 2014. And again, because of his health deteriorating due to a long series of detentions and being deprived of medical attention. So you see some through lines in these cases. I think this essentially marks a way in which some amount of accountability can be offered through the courts.
Yes, but the other thing, the other through line here is P. Chandran, his death in police custody was in 2012. Kamarul Nizam Ismail's death was in 2014. These are not fast cases. The verdict happened in March of this year, July of this year. And so I think, again, this goes back to, like you say, right, it's against the backdrop of why are these cases even recurring? But then also, how long does it take for some sort of resolution to come for the people who have survived? The family members, the people who perhaps... the people who are left behind in many ways. So we'd like to know from you, what else needs to happen to fight against custodial death? What do you think? You can call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this is Datuk Ma Wing Kwai, Commissioner at Suhakam. Datuk Ma, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
So to start off, how often do families of victims who died in custody actually get compensated in court?
Well, whenever there's a death in custody, two causes of action arise. One is where the officer is responsible if they are held to be liable through negligence or even through assault, for example. They can be charged, for criminal assault. But at the same time, the second cause of action that can arise will be a claim by the family of the deceased for damages in a civil court. So we have to be quite clear of the causes of action, because let's say you have a case of an officer who has caused the death of an inmate through assault, not just negligence, but through assault. And if there's evidence against him, that person ought to be charged And of course, he will be punished in a criminal court. But if there is no evidence of criminality, but just of negligence, then of course, a claim by the family can be filed in court for compensation. There have been many cases over the years, and it is a established precedent that courts will award damages against the officers concerned and against the government for any breach of duty, causing harm and causing losses. As in this case of Benedict's case and the ones that you mentioned just now of Chandran and Nizam cases. In fact, a few years ago, I think that was way back in 2014 or 2013, the A. Coogan's case hit the headlines where the courts, the High Court in Ipoh awarded very high damages, including exemplary damages. But the award of exemplary damages was overruled by the federal court. But still, substantial amount of damages was paid to the family.
So these court victories are the least of what the families of these deceased people can expect. But in terms of pushing for reforms to address custodial deaths, how impactful are these court victories?
Okay, now when we refer to DICs, deaths in custody, we refer to cases of people who go in or are taken into custody alive. And then, of course, they meet their death while in custody. And this often happens in the police lockups, in prisons, immigration detention centers, and even in the MACC lockup, as happened in the case of Teo Beng Hock. Now, just to go into some details and give some stats, and I'm referring to to last year, the stats last year. Suhakam itself inquired into 12 such cases, death in custody cases. And from for the whole of 2000, the year 2000 to 2016, there was a number of 284 cases. Now, in the view of Suhakam, of course, one death in custody is one too many. So it's quite obvious that there must be more responsibility of the detaining authorities. And you're absolutely right. It's not a question of, a death happening and then the family goes for compensation. That is the last resort to have some closure. And often it's meant to teach the perpetrators a lesson. But here's the irony, because when you have a case filed in court for damages, for compensation, who actually pays up? It is not the officer's concern. It is not even the IGP. The government pays up. But then who actually pays for this? It is your money. It is our money, taxpayers' money. So really, this is not a good situation at all. So therefore, every effort must be made to prevent such debt, such losses, and where officers are culpable, they should be charged and prosecuted in court. And there have been many examples of this over the years, and officers have been sentenced to imprisonment for causing deaths through assault and so on, and not just negligence. So, the thing to look out for and to see what kind of reforms we can have is important, because we want to ensure that you don't want to end up having a civil claim for damages by way of as punishment, so to speak. So really, the law ought to be reformed. There should be the IPCMC, which we have been advocating. Suhakam has been advocating for a long time. It came quite close to it, but then now it has been watered down, and we have the IPCC instead. Suhakam has been pushing for the incorporation of the Coroner's Act, so that it be more specific. The powers of the coroner are more specific, and not just relying on the CPC, the Criminal Procedure Code, as we do now, from Section 328 to Section 341, which provides for inquiries of death. And of course, the courts have to be more proactive and to hold inquests as and when becomes relevant and becomes necessary. Not to say to hold inquests as a last resort when there's big complaints from the public and so on. Yeah.
So Suhakam has also been probing several cases, including mm-hmm. one of an unidentified Nepalese man, as well as Surendran Shankar, S. Sivabalan, Rupan Karnagaran. What's the progress of these investigations? What are you hoping to achieve?
Well, as in all complaints, you see, in Suhakam, we have various divisions. We have a policy and the legal division. We have the complaints division. We have education and communication and so on. So whenever a complaint comes in, is received by Suhakam, it goes to the complaints division. And there will be preliminary investigations by the officers. A desktop query, and this would then expand into a visit to the scene and later taking of statements from witnesses. Now, all this will happen before the case actually reaches the court, because under the Suhakam Act, our mandate is to investigate before the matter goes to court. And under Section 12, if the matter goes to a coroner's court, our investigations will have to, court proceedings will have to take priority. We will have to stop our investigations. So in these four cases, I'm not quite in a position to tell you exactly the status today, but what would have happened is that our investigation teams would have gone and looked into the circumstances of the deaths. As I mentioned, statements will be taken from witnesses, there will be visits to lockups and whichever detention center is involved, and then we will come up with our own reports. And while often we act on the complaints by family members or members of the public, the Act also empowers Suhakam to act on its own volition. So we are alert to these matters, and if something is highlighted in the media and the newspapers, we most certainly get to it as soon as possible.
Datuk Ma, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Datuk Ma Weng Kwai, Commissioner at Suhakam, addressing a win of sorts, because the courts have ordered the police and government to pay over 280,000 in damages to the family of T. Benedict, a man who died in police custody in 2017. But we did want to set it against the backdrop of why it is that these cases continue to occur, and you know, what these individual wins really mean in the grand scheme of things. Keep those thoughts coming. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After the 7:30 news, we have Everyone's a Critic. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.